Turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter number 12. The psalm is written to the chief musician upon Sheminith, a psalm of David. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. For the faithful fall from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue, we will prevail. Our lips are our own. And who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. You can be seated tonight. I would think that there are several grandparents in this service tonight, and I am one of them. The Lord has blessed us with five grandchildren. And I am quickly finding out that they give a book full of illustrations that can be applied from the Scriptures. And I want to use something that occurs nearly every time our grandchildren come to our house. There will be something important that Miss Barbara needs to tell me. And she'll say, let's go to the kitchen. And she'll begin to talk and tell me the important news, and it never fails. Here comes one of the grandsons. Our littlest one is Jace, and while she's trying to tell me what is important, Jace is crying, Papa, Papa, I want to go ride on the golf cart. And you tell him to be quiet and just wait. Nana has something to say that I need to hear. And about that time, Rachel comes up and says, Papa, I want you to play Candyland with me. And we'll tell her to wait a minute, and she'll begin again. And then Jace comes right back, says, Papa, I want you to ride me on the golf cart. And I can't listen to Nana, for hearing the voices of my two grandchildren. And tonight, that's how I want to introduce this psalm. There are three voices that speak loudly in this psalm. And the main voice is the voice of the Lord. And He wants to tell us something important. He wants to tell us something that is significant. Something that we need to hear and to know. But there are voices crying on either side, calling for our attention, and we can't hear what the Lord has to say because we're giving heed to those voices that are coming from other directions. And that's what I want to deal with tonight. For you see, there are three voices in this psalm. There is the voice of David's powerful enemies. And then there is the voice of David's own personal experience. But then there is the voice of the potentate eternal. I'm glad he had something to say to the psalmist David. I want you to look at that first voice tonight. It is the voice of David's powerful enemies. They have something to say. Now I just want to introduce this psalm. It is not given the occasion for which it was written. Some commentators, they vary on their opinions as to when David recorded this psalm. Some say it was during the rebellion of his son Absalom. Others say it was earlier in David's life when he was in the court of Saul. And I tend to think that this psalm fits to that occasion in David's life. David has been exalted by God in defeating Goliath. And now he is in the court of Saul. Saul is filled with jealousy and envy toward David. And he tries to kill David. And David flees away. And he goes to the house of God. There at Nob, asking for bread and a sword. And Goliath's sword is given to him. But there is a man there by the name of Doeg. He is the chief herdsman of Saul's flocks. And he sees David and he goes and returns to Saul and puts a spin on the story about David that would make him look bad and make Doeg look good. And then you'll find that David goes from there and he goes to Keilah and delivers those from the Philistines' advancement. And the men of Keilah are glad, but then they turn right around and deliver David into the hand of Saul by betraying him. But David flees away And then the Zophites, they turn against David. It seems as if everybody has turned against him. And David, if he's listening to the voice of his enemies, he can't hear what God has to say to his life. And may I say tonight, God has something to say to you and I. But if we listen to our enemies, we'll never be able to hear what God has to say to us. The voice of his powerful enemies. You see, their voice is described in our text as a flattering voice. Have you ever felt like somebody was flattering you? That simply means they were smiling to you face to face, but on the inside they're full of hate and madness, and they're just ready to stab you in the back. Have you ever felt that way? That's what the term flattering means. It means to speak well of someone in their company only to get what you want and to turn against them when you are away from them. The Bible said in verse 2 that they flatter with their lips and their hearts with a double heart do they speak. David here is hearing the voice of his enemies flattering him. You say, where? The men of Keilah, they were being besieged by the Philistines, and David graciously and mightily comes to their aid and delivers them from their enemy. And they are grateful and they are glad they have been delivered. But you know what they did? They turned right around and sold him out to Saul. Oh, tonight, if you've got your eye on people, they're going to disappoint you. They're going to fail you. Sometimes you feel like on Sunday morning you poured your heart out to help your people, and they go out, they seemingly receive it but go out and do the very opposite that you preached about in the service. And tonight some of us are listening to our enemies and we can't hear what God has to say to our lives. Their voice was not only flattering, but their voice was also flaunting. He said in verse 4, who have said with our tongue, we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? They are speaking proudly. They are flaunting themselves. They push themselves to the forefront. They feel like they don't have to give an account to anybody. They are their own Lord, and they can say and do whatever they want to do, and nobody is going to hold them to accountability. There's people that you come in contact with, and they are proud and arrogant, and they speak boastfully against God's people, and you wonder, is God ever going to deal with them? And seem like they don't have to give an account to nobody. And if you listen to that voice, you'll never hear what God has to say to your life. Oh, if you've got your ear lent to this world, you're going to be discouraged. You're going to be defeated. You're going to fall by the wayside. We need to go to listening to the voice of the Lord tonight. The voice of his powerful enemies. Secondly, I want you to look at the voice of David's own personal experience. I described it for you. Doeg sells him out. Doeg's trying to get higher on the ladder of success and authority in the rule of King Saul. He's trying to get brownie points with the king. And certainly he probably did. And David helps the men of Keilah and does it out of the goodness of his heart. And they turn right around and betray him. And then the Zuphites, you read it in 1 Samuel, there along chapter 23 and 24, 25, and 26, you'll find that the Zuphites betrayed David also to Saul. And to look at David's own personal experience, it looks like everybody has turned against David. I want to ask you a question tonight. Have you ever got in a way where you thought everybody was against you? Have you ever got under such a load that you felt like nobody loved the Lord and nobody was serving God? Now, I know some of you wouldn't admit to it, but I'm here to tell you there have been times when we've all been like that because of the experiences of our own personal life. Everything has gone wrong. Everything has compounded on one another. What could go wrong went wrong, and what you think would never go wrong, it's went wrong. And you feel like the bottom has fell out of everything. That's exactly the way David felt. He was like Elijah in that cave. And Elijah said, "Lord, they've all forsaken you. They've all left your covenant. And I only, am left to serve you." David has said in verse 1, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, and the faithful man faileth among the men of the earth." David felt like because of what was going on in his life, nobody was trying to do right but David. But I'm here to tell you, when you feel like that, it's a lie, it's a lie, it's a lie. God said to Elijah, "I've got thousands that have never bowed their knee to Baal." And when you feel like nobody's living for God, nobody loves God, nobody cares, I'm glad, hallelujah, there are those round about who certainly do. But when we go to listening to the voice of our personal experience, we can't hear the voice of our God speak to our lives. Tonight, I have felt that way a few times in my life. The series of events that would surround me. But I'm here to tell you, He's in charge of all that goes on. But I want to look at that third voice. That's the voice we need to be listening to. It's not the voice of our enemies. And it's not the voice of our personal experience. Because your experience may not be a good one right now. Now, if it had been when David had delivered Israel from the Philistines by defeating Goliath, it would be a different story. But his experience wasn't on the mountain. His experience was being surrounded by those who betrayed him. But God has something to say. You say, where? Look at verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure as silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified seven times. We've been listening to the words of our enemies, and we've been listening to the words of our experience. And we ought to go to listening to the words of the eternal God. They are words that are purified. The Bible said in a furnace of earth seven times like silver. I want you to know that this Bible has been tried and proven. Did you know that there have been men and women alike who have given their life so you and I could have a copy of God's Word? Gutenberg printed the first Bible in Germany. And from then on, after that, in the 1600s, and from then on, men and women alike had to give their lives so a world could have a copy of the Word of God. This Bible has been tried. This Bible has been true. I'm here to tell you, it has brought men and women under conviction and show them the light path of the Calvary's cross. It has exalted our Savior. And tonight, it is worthy of our listening. It is worthy of our trust. They are words that are purified. I'd just soon listen to what this Bible has to say than to listen to my enemies and to listen to my experiences. Hallelujah. They are words of purification, but they are also words of preservation. The Bible said in verse 7, Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Hallelujah. He said he'd preserve his words. I'm glad I have the preserved word of God tonight. I realize there's some men that think they need to defend it and they need to prop it up. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible didn't give me or you that job. The Bible said, Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Hallelujah. He's going to see to it that His Word is preserved. It's not my department to prop it up. It don't need propping up. It has power. power within itself. It is God's business, and He has preserved them. He has brought them to our generation, and He'll carry it on to the generations that shall follow. You can listen to what this blessed book says to your life. But I want to tell you, they are words that are not only pure and preserved, but they are also words of promise. He said in verse 5, "For the oppression of the sighing," or the poor, "and for the sighing of the needy," look what He says. It's the Lord speaking. "Now will I rise, saith the Lord." That's His word. That is a promise. A promise to those who are poor, to those who are sighing because of being in need. God speaks a word of promise. He said, "Now will I arise." Hallelujah. Have you ever seen Him get up? Have you ever read about Him arising? Have you ever read where He stood up? That's what the word "rise" means. It means that He got up. I'm here to tell you, there's a day when the disciples were on that stormy sea and He was asleep at the helm. And they cried, "Master, carest not that we perish?" And the Bible said, "He arose." Hallelujah. I'm glad He arose. He stood up as He said He would do for the poor and the needy. He said, "I'll stand up. I promise you, I'll stand on your behalf." And that very day, He spoke peace to the storm. Hallelujah. Has He ever stood up on your behalf tonight? But that ain't the only place He stood up. Oh no, thank God. There was a day when they planted Him in a tomb, Joseph and Nicodemus. But I'm glad, hallelujah, after laying on that cold slab, He got up. Hallelujah. He wasn't laying there when Mary came and Peter and John came to the tomb. He had already gotten up. He had already risen. Hallelujah. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. Aren't you glad you can put your trust in a God who will give you a promise? And He said, "Now will I rise." That ain't the last time He got up. Thank God. There's an old saint by the name of Stephen. And there's a stone in him in the book of Acts. And the Bible said, "And the Lord stood up." Hallelujah. He was going to usher Stephen across the tide. I'm glad, hallelujah, when it comes my time to cross, He's going to be there. He said it in the Psalm, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." I'm glad He didn't take it sitting down, but He stood up for Peter. And I'm here to tell you, He'll stand up for you and He'll plead our cause. He'll mediate our need. I say, bless His name tonight. But that ain't the last time He's going to stand. One day the Father's going to say, "Son, it's time." You know where He's at now? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. But when that day comes, he's going to get up. Hallelujah. He's coming again. And Paul said that he's coming with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God shall be sounded. And we which are alive are going to be called up to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm glad he'll stand up one day, and he'll come for the blessed church. I bless his name tonight. Aren't you glad he's given us a promise in his book? Which voice do you want to listen to? You got three voices, but I'd soon just listen to what he's got to say. Let's stand tonight.